One announcement we forgot to make this morning is next Sunday, we can't have the fire hall again, so we'll be meeting at Teen Central for a time of worship. So just a reminder, I think you probably know that it's on your monthly calendar, but next Sunday we'll be at Teen Central again. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence here this morning. We've gathered here to worship you. And we've gathered to learn from you and to listen to you and to hear from you this morning. And so we just ask, Father, that you would speak into each of our hearts this morning. You know better than anyone else what we need. And so we look to you to teach us this morning. In your name we pray, amen. I like to have a scripture to preach from usually, and I guess you'd call it expository preaching. That's kind of the way God wired me. So when he gives me something that doesn't follow that path, it makes me a little nervous and a little uncomfortable. But I believe what I have this morning is from him, so I pray that he'll bless you from what he's saying. I want to start with two scriptures. One of them's from Malachi 3:6, and it starts out by saying, I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. And the other one is from Psalms 33, chapter 33, verse 1. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, not just for a season or for a short time or for 100 years or 1,000 years, but forever. And it goes on to say, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Did you ever hear of a man called Alexander the Great? Do you know what his purposes and plans were? Conquer the world. And so when he died, he wanted to pass that purpose and plan off to his four generals, and so his kingdom was divided into four pieces. Each general got one of them. And yet, instead of conquering more, they each kind of didn't have the same plan as Alexander. They each wanted, I guess, their own kingdom. And so his kingdom kind of disappeared and went away. He was a great man with great ideas, and yet his purposes didn't last too long, did they? And I had to think of, if you were a farmer, I guess there's a couple people, not too many anymore, that can relate to that this morning. But say you farmed land for many years, and you had no one to take it over, but you wanted your land to remain in farming. And so you might do all you can, put it in your will or whatever, to make sure that this land stays perpetually in farming. And yet, all around your land, it's built up, commercialized, and there's this one little farm in the middle of everything. And two or three, maybe four generations after you're gone, your plans and purposes aren't remembered anymore. And the farm is eventually sold because people have different plans than what you did. But God's plans stand firm forever. And I had to think about that because we serve a living God. We serve a living God. He's not dead. So his plans aren't dying when he dies. But there's many, many verses and many scriptures that tell us that God isn't changing. He doesn't change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I had to think of that because this is the last in a series of messages we're doing on new things that God does. So I had to think a little bit about, well, how can God do new things if he never changes? And yet I had to think about a little bit then about the new things that he's doing and maybe why he does those new things. And I think sometimes we get on a different track than God. Maybe God wants us here and we're a little bit over here. We just aren't quite hearing what he's saying. And he wants us to get back in alignment with him. And so he might do something a little different in our lives, or he might change change something. He might do something new that we're not used to. And when we say that God does something new, sometimes he does something new that he had done 2,000 years ago, but we forgot about it, and he needs to bring it to our mind again. But his purpose is to get us in line with him again. And sometimes, like maybe like Alexander or somebody else in our world today, we get wanting to do what we want to do, and we're completely off track from what God wants. And we're nowhere close to what God wants us to do because we're more worried about what we want to do. And sometimes he needs to do something radical. And he did that many times in Scripture. One of the instances, I think, in Judges, the presence of God dwelt in a place called Shiloh. And God's people were straying for him. And God's presence left that place. And years later, his presence ended up in Jerusalem. He did something new. His presence no longer was here, but it's over here now. And so he does things radically different sometimes to draw us to him. If we're more concerned about what we want to do. And so as I thought about some of the things that God does and why he does it, I think there's two purposes. Well, and sometimes he does something new because he just wants us to go into a deeper relationship with him. Do you remember in Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned? What did God do? When they were naked and they needed clothes, what did he clothe them with? We talked about this before. Animal skins. God has a principle that when we sin, a life needs to be given so that we can have life. And so there was this principle of sacrificing animals, and it started in Genesis. We don't know what animals were sacrificed. We probably think maybe they were sheepskins he clothed them with. We don't know. But that's something that's carried on and has not changed. But God did something new when Jesus came, didn't he? We no longer have to sacrifice animals because Jesus shed his blood for us. And so that same principle still exists, but God did it in a new way. Life still has to be given to cover over our sins. And so the two things I think that why Jesus works in our lives with something new or different is, number one, he wants to draw us to him if we don't know him as Lord and Savior, or he wants to draw us closer to him. And the second thing is, he might do something new or different in our lives because he wants to use us to draw others to him. But usually when God does something new, I think that's his motive behind it, or different. He wants to draw us to him or draw others closer to him through us. God gave me a scripture to go with this message, and I looked at it and I thought, well, this doesn't go at all. And so I had to think about it a little bit, why he wanted this scripture. Emily's going to read it. You can open your Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 6 to 21. And I want you to listen to this. I'm going to ask you when she's done what you think God's telling you. So listen to it and be prepared to respond. Go ahead, Emily. Thank you.
Okay, so John 14, 6 to 21 is what we're going to read. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and he is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Okay, this is your chance to respond. What do you think God's doing here? What's he telling us in this scripture? Getting ready, that's true. This is towards the end of his time on earth. Holy Spirit. One of the things I saw in here was we see the Father, the Son, and their relationship, and then the Holy Spirit. So we see the Trinity in this scripture. But what else? I don't think that's what God is really telling us this morning. Do you see anything else in there? Jesus wants us to focus on him. I think that's what God is kind of getting at here. It's a relationship thing. It's a relationship between Jesus and his Father, with us and the Father, with us and the Holy Spirit. And God is wants a relationship with us. And it pleases him when we have a relationship. And I think that's key to what one of the new things that God is doing here at New Beginnings. We have something that we're involved with that we call prophetic ministry. And that sounds like a big fancy word, but there's different meanings for the word prophecy. So prophetic ministry means that we go out and encourage other churches. We want to give them a message from the Lord. We want to encourage them. We want to build them up. But I think God's trying to teach us something more than just going out and encouraging others. Now that's new for us today. We don't have a lot of churches that go out and minister to other churches in that way. But that's something that 2,000 years ago I think was quite common. God likes when we encourage one another and minister to one another. But what do we do? Think about what we do when we go out and minister to another church. The Sunday before we go out, we meet on a Wednesday night with the purpose of preparing to go out and minister, don't we? And we'll meet and we'll talk about the church a little bit, and maybe someone has some insights about the church, and we'll spend time in prayer praying for that church, and we spend time seeking what the Lord's trying to tell us. And then between Wednesday and Sunday morning, we spend time with the Holy Spirit asking him how we can minister to that church. I mean, last Sunday I went to another church, and it's interesting, I spent time praying for Mount Zion, and seeking what the Lord was trying to tell me anything to share. And just because of what we learned through the prophetic ministry, it makes us more aware of what we should be doing. But then Sunday morning when we're driving to the church, we're to spend time in prayer and seeking the Lord. And do you remember there's some pictures that different people got of different things driving to different churches? And some of those things made no sense to us, but when that was passed on to the other church, it made perfect sense. I mean, there was a spiritual connection there. And so even that, and then Sunday when we're at the church during the service, I think we're a little more observant. We're intentionally seeking what God's trying to tell us, aren't we? And we're asking him, you know, what are you trying to tell us, Lord? How can we minister to these brothers and sisters here at this church? What message do you have for them? What are we to be sharing with them? And then the next couple of days, we continue to seek the Holy Spirit, and then we'll meet the following Wednesday, and we'll go over and share what we sense the Spirit saying, and then that's put in a letter and sent to the church. And the means and the purpose of that is to encourage and build up another body. Well, the Holy Spirit is here this morning. The Holy Spirit is here this morning because we have come to worship our Heavenly Father. And he's here in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit is encouraged and excited about getting together with us as a body. There's something special when we come together and worship together, as opposed to just being by yourself in your car or at work or wherever you're spending time with the Lord. There's something special about coming together as a body and worshiping. And so I think the question for us this morning is, did you prepare to meet with God this morning? Did you spend time seeking him this week, asking him what he has in store for you? Are you earnestly striving to understand what God's speaking into your heart this morning, right now? You know, sometimes I think we just enjoy coming to church. We enjoy seeing our friends. We enjoy the praise team leading us in worship. We'll listen to a message and we sense that God was here and maybe we heard something from him. But then we go home and, you know, it's just a good service. Do you ever have that feeling? But I think God wants us to go a little deeper than that. He wants us to get more from him. He wants a closer relationship with him. And so to do that, we need to do what we do when we go out to another congregation. We need to spend time on our own preparing to come and hear from the Lord on a Sunday morning. We need to spend time with him before, during, and after, and asking him the same questions. How can I minister to one of my brothers and sisters here at New Beginnings? How can I give them a word of encouragement? Do you want me to go visit somebody? Is he specifically telling you to do something? Like, put in your heart now, maybe to go visit somebody this morning. Is he giving you a word to encourage somebody with? Is there something specifically he wants to teach you this morning? We need to spend time preparing for that. And I think the reason we need to do that is that this is not our church. We're part of the church, but it's not our church. This is God's church. And I think too often as bodies of believers that gather together, we think that this is our church and we build it, or this is my table, you better not sit at it. That's my table, by the way, this morning. You shouldn't have sat now. That's not the way it should be in church. It's not ours. And we need to come to church realizing that this is God's church, and we need to seek him for wisdom and guidance. And I had to think a little bit about New Beginnings. This is not a traditional church that God placed here. We kind of dress a little more casually, don't we? We don't sit in pews or rows of chairs. We sit around tables. That's a little strange, isn't it? We don't own a building. We rent. We don't pass an offering plate like a lot of places do. We don't really have traditional membership. We have a membership covenant. So we don't have a membership role. It's something that people renew every year if they feel that God's calling them to be here at New Beginnings. And we're smaller than a lot of churches. And as I thought about that, some of those things make it easier for us to be a little more flexible when God asks us to do something. And I had to think about, we're going to be talking about whether we should stay here or go somewhere else after the service. And I had to think that a lot of churches wouldn't even consider that, because if we owned a building here in Brookerville, would we be willing to sell it and move to Mannheim if God's calling us to go there? See, it gets a lot more difficult. So because we're non-traditional, it makes us a little easier sometimes, I think, to adapt to what God's calling us to do. But whether we move or stay, what's important is that we do what God wants us to do as a body. And in the same sense, for us personally, it's important that we're doing what God wants us to do, not what someone else wants us to do, not what we want to do. We need to be doing what God is asking us. Mark 5, verses 25 to 29, talks about a woman who was subject to bleeding for 12 years. I think we all know the account. It's very familiar. And When I thought of that account in Scripture, I often think about it that this woman had this illness that needed to be cured. Her bleeding needed to be cured. And she just knew that if she touched Jesus, that it'd be cured. And I always have that picture that, you know, she just knew she got up to Jesus and that she would just kind of sneak through the crowd and like touch him and she'd be healed. And yet I don't think that's a correct analogy. I think the picture that we want to get this morning of that scripture is, if we read that scripture, it tells us that there's, when Jesus said, "Who touched me?" the disciples are like, "Well, come on, what do you mean, Jesus? We're in a crowd. People, I mean, just picture yourself in like this whole room's full of people and you can hardly walk through it and you're just always touching people." And that's the picture that we get in that scripture. And so here's this woman that knows if she can just touch Jesus, and I can just see her, like Jesus is there, and she's trying to get through this crowd, and she's fighting her way through the crowd because she wants to get to Jesus and touch him. And I can see her straining, you know, through people and touching him finally, and she's healed. And I think we need to take that word picture when we're seeking Jesus. We need to be single-minded like she was. We need to push through the things in our lives that Satan might place there or that are just there in our everyday lives to get to Jesus sometimes. And it's not easy. I don't think it was easy for her to get through all those people to touch him. But she knew she wanted to be with Jesus. She wanted to touch him and she wanted to be healed. And so in the same way, we need to strive with all our strength to reach out to Jesus, to touch him, to connect with him. And so this morning, I believe the most important thing, the most important question to ask is, welcome, Glenn. Things went well at Florin, I hope. The most important thing we can ask is, did you meet with Jesus today? Did the Holy Spirit speak to you in some way this morning? Have you learned anything from the Holy Spirit this morning? Has he asked you to do something, change something, visit someone, pray for someone? John 14:15, and I think verse 21 also says the same thing, is that if we love Jesus, we'll obey what he commands. And so if you love Jesus and he asked you to do something this morning, the scripture that Emily read is asking us to do it, to be obedient. So then I had to think in conclusion here. If I didn't hear anything from Jesus this morning, why is that? You could blame the messenger. You know, maybe it wasn't exciting or interesting enough, and you didn't hear, but it doesn't matter how poorly the person up here does. If the Holy Spirit's working, he's going to speak to you. So please don't blame me this morning if you didn't hear from the Lord. If we didn't hear from Jesus, there could be a couple different different things that are going on. John chapter 14:6 says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus speaking. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way to the Heavenly Father. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way for our salvation. So the first thing that maybe isn't quite right in your life, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't, you're not going to hear from him too easily. The message you're going to hear is that you need to change your life and come to me. But I had to think, when I was growing up, I thought I was a pretty good kid, not to brag or anything. I didn't really get into trouble. I think my parents were pretty happy that I wasn't a... They didn't have a lot of trials or didn't have to meet the principal many times as I was growing up. But it doesn't matter how good you are. Being good is not going to get us into the presence of our Heavenly Father someday for eternity. Being good is not going to give us a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you tried to do the right thing and you struggled and, man, you just messed up. And you're at a point now where you know you're not with the Lord, but you need a relationship with Him. And that's okay. You don't have to fret or worry about Him not accepting you, because He wants a relationship with you. Or maybe you're here and you just really lived a rough life, a life of sin, and you're at the point where, boy, God's never going to want me. There's no way, because of what I did, that I could ever have a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe we're here this morning and we didn't hear from Him because we're doing too much of what we want to do and not what God wants. And we need to get back in alignment with Him. And we want to hear from Him, but we need to change some things in our lives to get back in alignment with Him. No matter where you're at this morning, we need to have a relationship with Him to be able to hear what He's speaking into our hearts and our lives. And the neat thing about Jesus is, I don't think He's concerned about what our past was like or what we did in the past as much as what we do from this point on. What are we going to do in the future? And so if you realize that you messed up and you're a sinner and you need Jesus and ask Him into your heart, what's the scripture say? He forgets. He forgets everything you did in the past. Isn't that awesome? But He wants you to walk with Him in the future. And so for those of us who are Christians, sometimes we got a little bit off track. He's going to forget what we've done, but He wants us to walk with Him now and in the future. And that's the neat thing, I think, about Jesus, that His memory is awesome, isn't it? He can forget all our sins. It makes me feel like Jesus sometimes when I'm forgetful. We're going to close with a song this morning. So the worship team, you can come up and get prepared to do that a while. But if we aren't hearing clearly from the Lord this morning, something has to change in your life. And that something may be just spending more time with Him, getting a little bit more serious about what He wants you to do, and really desiring not to do what you want, but what He wants in your life. There might be something you need to deal with before you can move on with Him. I don't know. But I also had to think of new beginnings as a body. And I asked the Lord this week, you know, is there something we need to do as a body that we're doing wrong, or that where we messed up, or maybe we're doing okay, but He just wants us to get a little bit closer with Him. But what do we need to do as a body here at New Beginnings? And when I asked Him that, the only answer I got was that we need to love each other more. And I think we do a good job of that already, but we need to love even more. So this morning, as we sing this song, let's stand. You can sing, you can pray through it. Maybe you want to talk to the Lord, ask Him what He's speaking into your heart. If you want someone to pray for you, you can come front. One of the elders will pray with you. If you want to give your heart to the Lord and never have done that, you're welcome to do that this morning as well. But let's focus on our Heavenly Father as we close with this song.
I can see waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and God's God's children singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us.
We have
of Jesus that Emily read this morning from John. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. That's a tough scripture. How can we do greater things than what Jesus did? And yet with the Holy Spirit living within us, we can, is what Jesus is telling us here. And it says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. We need to be connected to Jesus Christ. We need to know his heart so that we know what to ask for. We need to lay aside ourselves and put him first in our hearts and our lives. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for the way you've spoken to each one of us. We each need to hear a different message this morning, Father. And Holy Spirit, I know you've done that. And so we thank you. May we go in power this morning, in your power, and tell others about you. Thank you for your presence in our hearts and our lives. In your name we pray, amen.